Radio Prague News. The Health Minister, David Rath, has said a parliamentary commission should investigate alleged links between the opposition Civic Democratic Party and the ailing VZP health insurance company. František Oldřich Kinský, a member of the old nobility, plans to sue the Czech Republic for billions of crowns after failing to recover extensive family property. And there is continuing opposition to a planned nuclear waste dump which is to be built somewhere in the Czech Republic. The Health Minister, David Rath, has said a parliamentary commission should investigate alleged links between the opposition Civic Democratic Party and the ailing VZP health insurance company. Mr. Rath, who put the insurance company under forced administration soon after taking office, has openly accused the leading opposition party of abusing VZP funds for dubious projects. The company has a debt of around 14 billion crowns. The opposition Civic Democrats say they are outraged by the accusations and are planning to take the health minister to court. František Oldřich Kinský, a member of the old nobility, plans to sue the Czech Republic for billions of crowns after failing to recover extensive family property confiscated after World War II on the grounds of the Beneš decrees. Over the past decade, Kinský has filed a total of 157 lawsuits with various Czech courts over property said to be worth 40 billion crowns. It was confiscated on the grounds that Kinský's father allegedly collaborated with the Nazis. Kinský's lawyer says the property was confiscated illegally because at the time it was no longer owned by Kinský Senior but by František Oldřich, who was a minor at the time. There is continuing opposition to a planned nuclear waste dump which is to be built somewhere in the Czech Republic. Experts have pinpointed six possible localities in different parts of the country, but people living in these areas are actively opposed to the idea. They have been signing petitions against its construction and rejecting offers of financial compensation. The head of the State Institute for Nuclear Safety, Dana Drábková, said on Wednesday there might be an alternative solution if several EU member states agreed to build a common nuclear waste dump at an unspecified locality. The Czech Republic needs to reach a firm decision on the location of a future nuclear waste dump by 2025. It should be ready for use by 2065. The opposition Civic Democratic Party has lashed out at the ruling Social Democrats, criticising what they called the party's vulgar style of government, corruption scandals and broken promises. Ahead of next year's general elections, the Civic Democrats have compiled a so-called black book of the ruling party's sins. Opposition leader Mirek Topolánek presented this list of sins to the media at a press conference in Prague. Prime Minister Paroubek dismissed the black book as a pile of rubbish and said the opposition Civic Democrats lacked a constructive approach to the country's problems. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Pavla Horáková. An amendment to the law on churches has been passed, but is it going to limit the rights of churches? 17 Central European prime ministers are due to meet in a Slovak spa town. And are the bodily remains of Czechoslovak war heroes still being used as teaching tools in Germany? Also, a truly different reality show has hit the Czech Republic, revealing the private lives of a gorilla family. Stay tuned. The ruling Social Democrats pooled their votes with the Communists in the lower house of parliament on Tuesday to push through a controversial amendment to the law on churches, overturning a recent veto by the Senate. Opponents to the bill say that it would seriously undermine the rights of churches, and some deputies have already said they are prepared to take the matter to the Constitutional Court. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The ruling Social Democrats recently said they would approve as much of their policy programme as possible before next year's general elections, with or without support from their coalition partners. On Tuesday, they matched their words with actions, disregarding the will of the two smaller coalition parties, the Christian Democrats and the Freedom Union. They pushed through the church bill, which opponents say will severely curtail the rights of churches to set up their own schools, charities and other institutions. The Catholic Church is particularly upset about the outcome of the vote. Cardinal Miloslav Vlk.
Máme takový pocit, že nás sociální demokracie podrazila, protože jak premiér, tak ministr Jandák slibovali.
We feel that the Social Democrats have let us down. During talks with the Prime Minister and Culture Minister, Vítězslav Jandák, we were assured that this amendment was not absolutely necessary and would not be debated in Parliament. Neither of them kept their word, and we are particularly sorry that they acted together with the Communists to push it through.
The fate of this bill now depends on President Klaus, whose signature would turn it into law. However, even if he does not use his right of veto, the Christian Democratic Party is prepared to fight it and take the matter to the Constitutional Court on the grounds that the amendment violates the rights of churches guaranteed by the Constitution. According to Senator Jiří Stodulka, the bill would enable the Culture Ministry to refuse to register or to close down an existing church institution if it chose to do so. The Social Democrats counter that churches must respect the legal system in the Czech Republic and indicate that the dispute over this bill is chiefly fueled by the Catholic Church, which has the unrealistic goal of complete independence. The bill and the exchange around it have inevitably worsened already tense relations between the government and the Catholic Church, which claims that fulfilling its mission in one of the most secular countries in Europe is not always easy. Should the bill end up in court, the judge who gets the case will not have an easy task. A number of studies which the ruling Social Democrats commissioned ahead of the vote are reported to be highly inconclusive.
That report by Daniela Lazarová. Among Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek's official engagements this week is a trip to the spa town of Piešťany in neighbouring Slovakia. The trip is political rather than medicinal. As well as taking the waters, Mr. Paroubek will be taking the temperature of Central Europe as he joins 16 other prime ministers for a meeting of the Central European Initiative. Rob Cameron will be covering the event and joins me in the studio now. So, Rob, what exactly is the Central European Initiative?
Well, Pavla, it began life in 1989. Back then, Italy, Austria, Hungary and Yugoslavia got together to form something called Quadragonal Cooperation. It described itself then as a platform for mutual political, economic, scientific and cultural cooperation. And of course, 1989 was a momentous year for Central Europe as the communist regimes began toppling like dominoes and once totalitarian governments became democratic. The following year, Czechoslovakia joined the group, so it became something called the Pentagonal Initiative. And in 1992, Poland joined, had to change its name again, becoming the Hexagonal Initiative. But when Yugoslavia collapsed later that year, the group, perhaps growing tired of geometrical metaphors, renamed itself the Central European Initiative, which I'm sure you'll agree is much snappier and to the point.
Right, but I gather it's no longer very Central European.
Well, in strictly geographical terms, no. The Central European Initiative, or CEI, embraces a territory of 2.5 million square kilometres and a population of nearly 260 million people, stretches from the Mediterranean shores of Italy to the icy steppes of Ukraine. It covers almost all of Central and Eastern Europe and the Balkans in between. Seven of the members are now in the EU, and several more are set to join, and several others, such as Moldova, for example, are very, very far from joining. I can think of no other organisation where the Prime Minister of Bosnia sits down to breakfast with the Prime Ministers of Belarus and Bulgaria.
That's all very interesting, but what does the Central European Initiative actually do?
Well, as well as rather dull things, such as scientific and cultural cooperation, one of the main things the CEI does at present is to help the 10 non-members of the EU learn from the 7 EU members, i.e. learning how they can join as soon as possible, or in the CEI's jargon, facilitating and co-financing the transfer of know-how on fresh transition and negotiation experience.
I see why the body has been described as a talking shop. Anything special on the agenda in Piešťany?
Well, certainly there will be discussion of specific challenges facing Europe at the moment, chief among them, of course, the fight against terrorism. And as the European Union is about to formally ask the United States to clarify reports that it ran secret CIA prisons in Eastern Europe, and the EU, of course, wants to see satellite images of two CIA members, Romania and Poland, and the question of terrorism and civil liberties is likely to be uppermost in everyone's minds in Piešťany.
Well, thank you very much for that, Rob, and we'll be in touch over the coming days. The corpses of some of Czechoslovakia's most celebrated war heroes may be serving as models in anatomy classes in Germany and Austria to this day. Thousands of political prisoners were murdered at the Plötzensee detention and execution center outside Berlin during the Second World War. Among them were nearly 700 Czech and Slovak resistance fighters whose bodies were immediately sent on to medical universities and institutions within the Third Reich. Brian Kennedy reports.
Condemned prisoners at Plötzensee spent their final hours in shackles before crossing the small courtyard leading to the execution chamber to be beheaded by guillotine or hung in groups of eight on the gallows. In the first weeks after the German occupation of Czechoslovakia, which began on March the 15th, 1939, dozens of high-ranking Czech military officers in the resistant movement known as Defense of the Nation, Obrana Narodna, met such deaths within the prison walls. During the course of the Second World War, many hundreds would follow, as the list of crimes meriting capital punishment was expanded from murder and high treason to include 25 other offenses. The so-called People's Court of Occupied Czechoslovakia, the Reich's protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, sentenced thousands of suspected resistance fighters and their family members to death. More than 670 of them alone were murdered in Plötzensee, from where fresh corpses were routinely delivered to Nazi doctors for study. This dark chapter of history has come under renewed scrutiny following calls from German medical students and researchers at Berlin's Humboldt University to purge anatomical stocks of unwitting donors, victims of Nazi persecution. By the mid-1980s, medical faculties and institutions in Western Germany, and to a lesser degree Austria, had completed this morbid task by tracing the origins of corpses used for the study of anatomy and forensic medicine. Verified and presumed victims of Nazi persecution, including Czechs and Slovaks, were then given proper burials. But at Humboldt University, which fell on the communist side of the Berlin Wall, no such inventory took place. In recent weeks, university researchers presented the Czech embassy in Berlin with evidence that the remains of Czechoslovak political prisoners executed at the prison were still being studied at Humboldt, a fact many found unconscionable. The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes broke the story in the Czech media this week with a sensational headline that among them could be the bodies of national heroes Jan Kubiš and Josef Gabčík, British-trained paratroopers who, in May 1942, assassinated Reinhard Heydrich, the Nazi governor of the Protectorate, known as the Butcher of Prague. The severed heads of Sergeants Kubiš and Gabčík were kept at the Gestapo's Prague headquarters until the end of the war. Their bodies and those of their fellow paratroopers, all of whom committed suicide with a single bullet to the head after exhausting their ammunition in battle with Nazi troops, were sent by special train to Germany for study by Nazi criminal police. What eventually became of their remains is a matter of historical debate. Meanwhile, the Czech embassy in Berlin is backing a proposal by German academics to hold an international conference this February in hopes of putting this chapter of history to rest.
Brian Kennedy reporting. Last week, the American Information Center in Prague presented a panel discussion about changes in the Czech Republic in the 16 years since the Velvet Revolution. Emphasis was placed on press freedom, the effect that the last 16 years have had on the quality of publications available in Prague today, and how those publications face new challenges in their struggle to survive. After the discussion, Alena Vratislavová talked to the organizer Jan Krč, who summarized some of the issues discussed.
Most of us would, of course, agree that there have been tremendous improvements from the dark days of totalitarianism, when the media was completely controlled by the Communist Party, to a very freewheeling, open media where everybody would agree that there is considerable press freedom in this country. But, of course, with the press freedom come new problems, and new to the Czechs, but not so new to us in the West, and that is, of course, the pressures of commercial imperatives. In other words, publications are free, but the publishers have to make money, and publications have to survive. And in that sense, there have been a number of publications that have failed, and there was speculation about others that are hanging on only because of private donors or sponsors. And so, you know, nowadays it's also a question of running a business, and any business can obviously go under if it's not financially strong enough to survive the competition. So with the openness of the media scene here come new problems, problems that we faced in the West, and financial pressures are one of the most important ones that they face.
And then if I could just touch on the mystery surrounding English publications, there was a mention about that as well.
One of our panelists, Mr. Best, brought up this issue and raised the good point that the English language media here in Prague played a very important role in setting certain standards. There are some fine publications like the Prague Post that exist here. And so in the initial years of the transformation, they at least set an example. Now, of course, the question is, what about their future? And there again, we get into the commercial issue. You know, will they survive? Will they be sufficiently competitive? Is there a need for them in the future now that the Czech media scene is so much more robust, and where the problems of the communist past have been overcome mostly? I certainly hope personally that the English language media does survive because it does provide an alternative, and there are now many expatriates living here whose Czech is not sufficiently good enough to be able to follow the Czech press, and so I think there's always some role for an English language press, so I hope it does survive here.
Jan Krč of the U.S. Embassy in Prague was talking to Radio Prague's Alena Vratislavová. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague. And now, in a special program, Jan Wellinger takes us to Prague Zoo, where an interesting experiment is underway.
It was only just a few months ago that Czechs were first introduced, some would say subjected to, reality TV. In late summer, two new programs began at the commercial stations, Big Brother and the then lesser-known Vyvolení, the Selected, since drawing a great deal of media attention. Millions have since tuned in, and a great number of young viewers watch regularly. But others were turned off from the start, either unimpressed or offended by the exploits of the show's overnight celebrities. Until now. A new reality show begun this month by Czech Radio in conjunction with Czech TV is one that can be said to be truly different, even at first glance. The reason? The stars of the program are gorillas.
Mama was queen of the Mambo, Papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, I start banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo.
The show called Odhalení, Unmasking, was put together by Czech Radio in connection with public broadcaster Czech TV. On November 7th, a total of 16 cameras began monitoring the exploits of four gorillas at Prague Zoo, and will continue taping and broadcasting on the internet for the next 2 months. Just like in other reality shows, viewers can tune in to see daily clips or live action, and just like in Big Brother or The Selected, one can send in phone text messages in support of their favorite star. Petr Fake, the director of Prague Zoo, describes some of the gorillas on the show.
Je to samice Shinda, 14-letá, a 12-letá samice Kijivu.
Shinda is 14 and Kijivu is 12. Both are female gorillas sent back to Europe from Melbourne, Australia, where they spent their youth. After they came out of puberty and reached adulthood, the coordinator for gorilla breeding in Europe decided the apes should return. At the Prague Zoo, they were joined by Richard, a so-called silverback, a dominant male, who quickly became the leader of the group.
Sklony, který vládne v té skupině.
Richard and Kijivu mated, and a year ago Kijivu gave birth to her first baby, Moya, the only gorilla ever born in captivity in the Czech Republic. Even now, experts aren't quite sure whether Moya is a boy or a girl, although the zoo's director Petr Fejk says some zoo visitors have their minds made up.
Some visitors who have come to the zoo think that we've been making things up. They come forward with photographs they've taken that they think clearly show or prove that Moya has a penis, that he's a male. But with gorillas, it's not that simple, so you have to take different steps, in this case, a DNA test. Right now, we're planning on sending samples from Moya's fur, as well as stool samples, to prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, whether he's a boy or a girl.
As the only baby in the group in Odhalení, Moya is the only gorilla not in official competition. That might seem a little unfair, since anyone who has tuned in will have noticed he is often the liveliest of the bunch, although the others are no slouches either. At this point, who knows who will steal the show. Viewers can vote for their favorite gorilla, and in the end, the winner will walk off, well, not exactly, will receive 12 melons. So clearly a lot is at stake. Why melons? Well, in other reality shows, melons are all we've been hearing about for weeks, and it's not what you might think. In Czech slang, melon, or the plural meloni, means millions, as in millions in cash. Of course, many comparisons have been made between the gorillas and their human counterparts. Who's bossy, who's nice, who's willing to bear it all. In Odhalení, Richard, weighing in at over 200 kilos, could be the front runner. But like his human counterparts in other reality shows, he can also be pretty hard-headed. His keeper, Marek Zijanski, explains Richard sometimes really digs in his heels.
When our scale was working, he deliberately refused to go anywhere near it, so we only get to measure him once in a while. Last time he weighed in at 208 kilos. When the scale was broken, he lounged all over it. Now that it's fixed, he stays away.
The female gorillas also occasionally get into the occasional tussle. Not long ago, they got into a bit of a fight, and Moya, the baby, apparently only just got out of their path. Tempers can occasionally run high, and according to Marek Zgiansky, even presenting the eventual winner with his prize in a few months' time may prove difficult.
We can't send the gorillas into the pen one at a time for the winner to claim the prize for everyone to see. Those left out would be confused and would act up and would scream. They're used to the fact that in the pen each has his place, and they're fed by the keeper who hands them their food. Handing out the melons could be a difficult riddle to solve. We haven't sorted that one out yet.
The Prague Zoo under Petr Fejk has gained a remarkably high profile in recent years, deservedly, for projects introducing magnificent new pavilions, improving conditions for the animals. But in the case of the reality TV show, when he was approached by Czech radio, he still took some persuading. It was only a promise that proceeds would go towards a project in Africa to save gorillas in the wild that a deal was clinched. Since then, Odhalení has proved to be a huge marketing success. Countless organizations reported on the apes worldwide. Thanks to Odhalení, countless viewers can now tune in to learn more about gorillas and stay longer than they ever would in the park. The head of Czech Radio's science station, Pavel Bobek, indicates the project is already a success.
překvapivě široký a překvapivě dobrý 95.
Reaction has been extensive and most of it is good. 95% of visitors in online discussions have greeted the program favorably and we're very excited about it. Our guerrilla reality show made headlines worldwide and stories were aired on many stations, including, for example, Fox News in the US. Czech expatriates take part in online discussions too, having heard about the show through the news. While we haven't recorded a final number of visitors at the website yet, our estimate now is that viewings number in the tens of thousands.
Projekt odhalení se chodí dívat řádově desítky tisíc lidí.
The website, you can find the link at radio.cz, offers many different features including audio, live camera, edited clips, games and profiles of the contestants. Information is available in both English and Czech, and readers, for example, can learn how long gorillas live, about their moods, and that gorillas need fresh branches to eat. I, for example, watched for 15 minutes one day as Richard peeled and chewed on bark, even as I ate my own lunch in the office. He probably has better manners. On the other hand, I don't put up quite such a fight when getting on the scale. Of the three reality shows currently on offer in the Czech Republic, each has a distinctive flavor. Vyvolení is more about friendships and arguments, while Big Brother has been to a large extent about sex. But only Odhalení has gorillas and little Moya, worth the price of admission alone. When the Odhalení cameras turn off in 2006, the gorillas' lives in the zoo will, of course, continue pretty much as normal. But at least we will have gotten to know them, our close cousins at the Prague Zoo, the great apes.
And that brings us to the end of the program. If you'd like to drop us a line, you can do so at the usual address, Radio Prague 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, or English at radio.cz. You can find all our programs in sound and text on our website, www.radio.cz. Thank you for tuning in. Till next time, this is Pavla Horáková saying goodbye from Prague.
Hear me when I come. They say that I'm a clown, making too much dirty sound. They say there is no place for little monkey in this town. Nobody like to be in my place instead of me, cause nobody go crazy when I'm banging on my boogie under.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Banging on my bongo, all that swing belongs to me. I'm so happy there's nobody in my place instead of me. I'm a king without a crown, hanging loose in a big town. I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come, baby.
King of the bongo, king of the bongo.
Hear me when I come. Mama was queen of the mambo, papa was king of the Congo. Deep down in the jungle, last I banging my first bongo. Every monkey like to be in my place instead of me, cause I'm the king of bongo, baby, I'm the king of bongo bong. Hear me when I come. Hear me when I come.